Number one, Star Wars. Number two, comics. Number three, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Number four, Mario. Number five, Weird Al. Number six, Batman. Number seven, Kal-El. Number eight, The Simpsons. Number nine, TV. Number ten, every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out, say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Say nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything.
Hey everybody, welcome back to say Nerds Ruin Everything. I'm Logan.
And I'm Adam.
And, we're mostly going to be talking about trailers today, so there's no spoilers for trailers, I guess.
Not really. I mean, you know, unless the trailer just gives the movie away itself, you know what I mean? Which is kind of the thing that happens in trailers nowadays, as well. But yeah, and we got some movie news, and you know, we're not going to be talking about Redone. Because, you know,
makes me laugh every time.
I'd much rather, like, I think I texted you. I was like, what in the holy fuck did they think that we'd want this movie over a Jumanji 3? Like, come on, give me my Jumanji 3. Bring Brendan Fraser into it. Make it like get Rachel Weisz and have me a kind of semi like mummy reunion before like an actual mummy movie becomes a reality, kind of beat them to the punch. And I don't know, maybe also get Old Man Ford to do something. I think he's game. He seems to be game to do anything nowadays.
You are not current on Shrinking, right? Because it's just
no. It's been too rough, man.
He is fucking killing it, man.
Oh,
he has been so good this season. It's really weird to see Harrison Ford like have this. Not, I don't want to say resurgence, because it's not like he ever fell out. He's always for all of our lives, even when something he's in wasn't a hit, he's still Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
but it is weird to see him working more. It seems like right now than he did in like the entire decade previous.
Yeah. And it also like the other thing is that so like I have this theory about Ford, and it was after Presumed Innocent didn't get him anything. He just kind of like that and The Fugitive, like 4 years later, he kind of just stopped caring. But I feel like something changed in him in about the last couple of years where he started caring. And then like he realized that the people that he's working, like the people that want to work with him, like see like some of these people don't see Harrison Ford as Han Solo, but they see him as the dude that was in Witness, the dude that was in Presumed Innocent, the guy that actually was an actor, right? Like he was a superstar, but he was also an actor.
I sent you this in regards to something else the other day, but you saying that just made me think about, it's almost like, it's been a few years since that whole, like, Tom Cruise is the last movie star piece thing, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
And, like, now all I can think about is Michael Jordan just going, and I took that personally.
Yes, it did. Yes, it really like
Harrison like, Ford is going, and I took that personally.
Absolutely. And also like the other thing is like it's weird because it's like it's like there's still room, right? Like Ford is like 80, right? Like, and that's like a fucking weird thing. Like, we still probably have Tom Cruise, unless something like terrible happens, for another 20 years, that means. Like, literally another 20 years. And if Ford is like Eastwood, who just made his last movie at 93, we've still got a decade of Ford left.
I mean, you want to talk about him for a second? Not that I'm a big fan of his as a filmmaker or as a person. But he's kind of getting fucked with last movie.
Oh yeah, like
by all accounts this is really good.
It's
like,
yes,
everybody that's seen it has been like, this is like peak like Eastwood as a filmmaker, and it's getting a limited theatrical run.
It's already done. the limited theatrical run is done. It was done in 50 markets, and then also like in foreign territories. And the only people that reported were the foreign territories, because WB doesn't want to say anything about the numbers that they're getting, because everybody who thinks that as soon as the word got out that there was a new Clint Eastwood movie, his whole base went to go see it. Like, there's like, this is the guy who, like, not even 4 years, 5 years ago, I think, made The Mule, that made $200 million in the U.S. Let me repeat that again. 5 years ago, he made The Mule, a movie that he starred and directed in. So he was like 88 years old. And that movie made $200 million at the box office in the U.S. alone. So you're telling me, like, between now and then, it's another Zsasz thing. I honestly think that Zsasz looked at it and was like, let's just give him the $50 million, like, in his contract, and then we'll just dump it. And not thinking about what that, like, and this just proves to me, again, what a piece of shit he is. I'm going to say it. He's a piece of shit, because this, like, regardless of what you think of Clint Eastwood, politically, like, celebrity, like, his work, whatever you think, this man has been around for 60 fucking years. And at no point has his star ever waned or dipped. And he has always found a way to reinvent himself and make his films a part of the cinematic landscape. I've had Eastwood on the mind recently because I just reviewed three of his films. One I hadn't seen. Two I know quite well. And, like, it got me thinking about this, and it's like, how dare you, David Zasloff, fucking basically fuck with this man's legacy? Because he said he's done. Like, they said he's done. He cannot do it. Like, he doesn't want to have, like, a lot of directors at that age, they give them an insurance, like what they call an insurance director or a backup director.
Yeah.
And the rumor was that to get this one greenlit, he had Bradley Cooper in the wings waiting, because him and Bradley are super close, but he wasn't on the set.
That happened with
Altman.
What's his name?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah. That turned out to be a really good movie, though.
It did. Prairie Home Companion is a beautiful film. It's kind of like the sweet kiss off that you kind of want.
Yeah. You have to, as long as you don't know that Robert Altman basically spent the entire time hitting on Lindsay Lohan.
And let's just not talk about that shitty, it takes some kind of pervy balls, to do that. Like, you know, what is the fucking movie with Bruce Dern where he plays like an 80-year-old man and he keeps on hitting on the, like, it's just like it's like that kind of creepiness. You're like, ew, gross, but also, like, you know, just don't, like, I just don't think about it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this man was, like, in a wheelchair directing, and he's, like, making passes at Lindsay Lohan, and, like, yes, it's gross, but, at the same time, it's just, like, the dirty old grandpa thing. It's, like, it is gross, but it's also, like, okay, grandpa, like, what are you gonna do, man? I read the Eastwood thing, and I was like, man, like, I may have, like, with all the word of mouth, I may have actually gone to see this. I haven't watched one of his movies in a while, but the cast is incredible, and the word of mouth was really good, and Warner's was just like, yeah, here's, you know, a limited theatrical run, and it'll be on Max in December or something.
Yeah.
So, like, what's this?
What's going to be funny is when the Globes give it 15 nominations.
Yeah.
Like, then what the fuck is David Zavala? I fucking hate David Zavala. Have you heard about this bullshit about De Niro's latest movie about how it's probably going to get the Clint Eastwood treatment again, too? It's a fucking gangster movie. It's an action gangster movie that he made that we've heard nothing about. It's been on the shelf for about 6 months. He finished it sometime over the summer. Hadn't heard about a release. They were supposed to release it in December as a holiday, like, from all intents and purposes. He directed it, I think. and it's getting like, it's literally like, it's like a 50s gangster movie, but it's done in the style of like a 50s gangster film. So it's kind of like Scarface, for Howard Hawks' Scarface. It's that kind of like it's like a 100-minute like fast paced movie that he made, right? And nobody heard a word, and they're thinking that they're dumping it in the spring and it'll just be again like this Juror Number Two. And it's just like, who the fuck are you, dude? Like, why is anybody standing for this? Like even Disney has the foresight when it's talking about Fox movies or Fox Studio movies to look at something and go, you know what? Maybe we should be in the alien theatrical business. Like, maybe we should do that, not just to satisfy Ridley, one of our biggest, like our biggest assets in Fox, but maybe it'll do some money and then maybe it'll make the streaming rights even more valuable. No, nothing like fucking like Max doesn't do that. They fucking shelve movies. I mean, like, this is essentially a shelving, right? At least we're going to see this one. And it's not like Coyote versus Acme or fucking Batgirl where we don't get to see it. Like, man, I fucking hate this, dude. Like, this is like like I said, I'm not even a huge Clint Eastwood fan. Like, I'm a huge Eastwood fan. I'm not. You know what I mean? And this is so disrespect. I would not be surprised if that 93-year-old man rolled up in his Bronco or Jeep Wrangler that he drives around in to the Warner Brothers lot and goes, "Where's Simmons?" And just throw fucking punches him. Because, like, how the fuck do you do that? Like, how do you do that to Eastwood? The man who, for what, 40 years had parking spot number one. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard about the story. Like, he had one, and then two was a revolving door. At a certain point, it was Mel Gibson had number two, then it was Tom Hanks, then it was Zemeckis, but always Eastwood has had the number one parking spot. Even over executives don't even get that spot. I don't know, man. Like, it's fucking wild. I haven't had a chance to like really kind of like, and it's like, okay, here's the wild part. This is how you know that it's being buried, is that it, in LA right now, there's three theaters that you can see it. And literally one of them is in an area where there are no Clint Eastwood fans, or maybe they are, they're just all like retirees. The other two places are so far away from like any kind of like suburban area like I live in. Like, it literally, like, you have to go to Santa Monica to see it, which is like sometimes it's a 2-hour saunter to get out there. They've made it highly inconvenient.
Yeah, it seems really bizarre to do that to him. So
to him, of all people, like, if he, okay, so this is where like I'm gonna ask you, do you think anybody is safe now at this point then? Like, if
with Warner Brothers, no, well, I mean, not at all.
But the sharks at other studios smell blood in the water, right? And so it's kind of like, do you think that any, like, once this word gets out, and like, I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen, dude. Like, I'm interested in the Golden Globes to see how many nominations it gives it, because it could very well be one of those things where, you know, we've seen it before where they give something a bunch of nominations and then it becomes this thing.
So what major studios are left? I mean, we have Warner Brothers, we have Disney, and everything under their purview, which is multiple studios at this point. You have Sony, who
Paramount.
Like, Sony doesn't even treat their films with reverence. I don't know why they would treat their filmmakers with any reverence.
Let's be clear. Sony doesn't even treat their video games with reverence.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, Universal.
Paramount, Universal. Who's MGM is Amazon now, right?
But they are their own separate studio, so.
Yeah, but come on, like, Bezos doesn't have...
Yeah. Like,
say in all of that.
It's basically the Washington Post for fucking movies.
Yeah. So you only have a handful of studios. And Zaslav, I mean, we just passed our 100th episode. We've been doing this for over 2 years.
Oh.
And we talk about that motherfucker. We've been talking about him for 2 years. And he's been doing this for 2 years. And while, like, the business has been weird, I feel like he's still the only one who has shown such massive disrespect to the people he's trying to employ to make films.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't know if any other studio follows that kind of thing. Like it
yeah.
Bottom line is it hasn't been successful. If it were successful and like they were seeing gains from that, other studios might would do that. But like even if that's the case and it does start happening and these major studios don't have that kind of respect for like these classic people who are honestly aging out of movie making.
Yeah.
You still have, you have a bunch of smaller studios now that would eat that shit up. Like if Eastwood's was just like, fuck you Warners, I'm done, but he still wanted to make movies. Like, I can't imagine that, like, who's probably the biggest small studios?
A24.
I can't imagine A24 wouldn't want to be in the Clint Eastwood low-budget movie-making business.
No, because the thing is that...
Those movies don't cost anything.
I mean, nothing. The Mule cost like $40 million. Cry Macho cost $55 million. This one is rumored to have only cost like $35 million. Like it's, he doesn't do, like his biggest movie, I think that they said budget-wise, the biggest movie, not even adjusted for inflation, but just his biggest movie was American Sniper. That cost like $85 million. And that fucking movie made $1 billion worldwide. $1 billion. American yeah. Sniper, about a PTSD,
yeah.
CTE like sniper that ended up killing himself. I don't know, man. Like I don't understand why, like what is going on in this whole situation, because it's like it's his last movie. Treat it with the, like, that's the mm-hmm. thing that I keep on thinking about is like, treat it with the reverence it deserves. It's like 25 years ago in 1999, Stanley Kubrick died and then they had Eyes Wide Shut. And this is the same studio, except for it had different studio heads. They treated that like the event it was. They made sure that everything was done respectfully to his, to Stanley Kubrick's wishes.
Yeah.
And like, why does like the only difference between the eras is the studio head? Like that's yeah. really what
I mean,
it is.
We saw what he did with like he was on the verge of shutting down Turner Classic Movies.
Yep.
You literally had to have filmmakers intervene and implore him, like, this is not what you can't, this is not a smart play. Like, I understand, like, maybe it's not profitable, but it's not really operating at a loss. It's also the only place, like, a lot of people have access to stuff like this, and you're just like, I mean, he's Kylo Renning it, like, fuck the past, burn it down.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's not really always the way to go, man. Like, this is no. art. It's not trauma. It's
it isn't. It's like I don't get it, man. Like, this is not like this is the thing. This is not this like this is not Discovery, right? This is not the Discovery Channel where you just like where it's all just a bunch of reality TV bullshit, right? Yeah. This is art. Like, reality TV, like, I watch it. There's some that I watch, but it's not art. Like, yeah. I say that bottom fucking line. Reality TV is not art, because there's an exploitative nature in everything. All it is to make money. There's no purpose for it. Like, when you get to artifice or when you get to true art with reality, it's documentaries. And that's not what Discovery is about, right? Like, this man just thought that you could cut everything and just slice and hack. And it's like, that's not what movies are.
Yeah.
That's not what movies are. I mean, he spent the better part of the DC, like, the DC universe BS is all his is a lot of his fault, like the crumbling of like whatever could have been salvaged if they had done a soft reboot, and they're now having to do what, a third reboot, which is a hard reboot, which is not really even really a hard reboot. I don't know, man. Like, there's like, this is the kind of thing where you just look as a, not just as a film, like a film fan, but just as a person, and you just go, why? Like, yeah. Just why? Like, you are actively courting yourself against audiences. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, if I was a businessman and I saw that, I'd be like, no, we're gonna put it out there because there's an Eastwood audience. It would be like if Paramount just decided to close out of the Yellowstone business, right? Like, because for whatever reason, it's like they didn't like the audience or they didn't like what it was trying to court or what it was trying to say. Fuck you, dude. That's money. Yeah. That's money.
It's not bad money. Like, it's not like you're in business with fucking Hitler. Like, it's absolutely baffling to me. But, you know, I'll watch it when it hits Max, like, for sure. Just because all the word of mouth, everything I've read has been like, yeah, he's going out on top, like doing what he knows how to do best. So, and like the cast looks incredible. So, one piece of news we have not talked about, and maybe because ultimately it doesn't fucking matter, because they just keep making these announcements. So going over to Disney, they announced that Simon Kinberg is developing his own Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are, quote, developing their own Star Wars films, and none of it has come to fruition. But this one, this is the one I honestly, like, I do not know how to feel about this, because I think Simon Kinberg as a producer and co-writer / like creative director or something is perfectly fine, if not great. I mean, the guy is largely responsible for a lot of the good X-Men stuff. He helped create Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, with Dave Filoni. But also, there's a lot of terrible shit, including all of the bad X-Men stuff, specifically Dark Phoenix, that he directed.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I don't know how to feel about this.
There's a big issue going on right now with Disney and all of these Star Wars projects. We've heard that Ryan Johnson has his that's still smoking, like that's still putting around because, because they want to be in the Ryan Johnson business and they lost out because, you know, because Disney is Disney sometimes. But we have that trilogy. We have the Rey thing that what's her name is working on, Daisy Ridley is working on. And then we have this Simon Kinberg. But the interesting part about the Kinberg and the Ridley stuff is he wants to put Rey into his trilogy. He wants to center it around her, and like the rumors are her and Boyega, and as a way to get Boyega to come back, right? To which, like, I don't think you're gonna get him to come back. Like, he is you did him dirty and he just doesn't seem like the guy that's gonna do it. But anyways, like, the weird part about this all is that, again, there's too many fucking cooks in the kitchen. There's too many. Like, why, like, is this a Dave Filoni directive? Like, is Dave doing a solid to Simon because he's literally been kicked out of all of his, like, Simon Kinberg doesn't have any, like, he's already been told by Kevin unequivocally that he's not going to be a part of Deadpool. But like, he wasn't a part, like, he is a part of Deadpool, but it's in name only, because that's Ryan's thing. And now it's Ryan and Sean's thing. And then you've got the X-Men, which he's absolutely not a part of. Like that is like, we've heard that that's Kevin's baby, like, to deliver in whatever round he decides to do, which we're already starting to see the beginnings of, right?
Yeah.
But it's like,
here's the thing. Here's what Kimberg has done as a writer, not as a producer, as a writer. Here's the major things he has done. Triple X State of the Union, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, X-Men The Last Stand, Jumper, the first Sherlock Holmes, This Means War, which is a movie nobody remembers, X-Men Days of Future Past, Fantastic Four, X-Men Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, and Rebels that I mentioned, but he's the creator on Rebels, so like, he's not responsible for writing all the episodes. But like, as a writer, those are the major films he has done. And I would say that I enjoyed two of them. I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith is a lot of fun. Yeah. And Days of Future Past has some really good stuff in it.
It's not great, but it
has some good stuff in it.
I would say only Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because I can't reconcile anymore with that piece of shit director. Like, I just can't. Like, I just, like, Singer, like, that's so much a, like, I know that he didn't direct a lot of it, like, as per the rumors are, because of the fact that he was off on whatever Epstein Island he was on.
A lot of people kind of hint that Kimberg was kind of ghost directing X-Men too.
Yes. That's supposedly the rumor. Him and also cinematographer Thomas Newton Siegel.
Yeah.
Which, like, Thomas Newton Siegel has always been, like, rumored to be Singer's, like, basically ghost director on most of his films when he was off doing whatever kind of inappropriate sexual activities he was doing. I don't have a problem with that. I'm at a point, guys, where I'm at a zero fucks given to anybody that has any certain amount of clout that has used it to do fucking dirty, and fuck Bryan Singer, seriously. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, okay, so like to go back to the Kinberg of the situation of it all, no, absolutely not. I don't like it. I don't want it. I hope it burns up. I hope it flames out, because nothing, like, he's done.
Yeah, I think at this point, like, even if I was hopeful for it, I couldn't be that hopeful, because Disney is it's been 5 years since the last Star Wars movie.
Yep. The Last Jedi. The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. Sorry. Skywalker.
6 years since the last good Star Wars movie. Or no, 7 years. Seven years.
Jesus Christ.
I can't get excited for any of this anymore. Like, not the movies. Like, they're giving us the shows, like, and we'll get the Mandalorian Grogu movie that really should just be a show, but they don't know what else to do, and they need a fucking Star Wars movie to justify the $4 billion they spent buying it. So, I was like, okay, maybe this just comes from his relationship with Dave, which seems largely still good. So,
yeah,
you know, and with Dave kind of guiding everything officially now, okay, like, if it does happen, that doesn't make me feel as dreadful about it. But he's just, the man has directed one thing. He's written a lot of bad to mediocre things, and one, possibly two, good things. Yeah. And the one movie he did direct was fucking awful. Maybe it's not his fault, but he wrote it and directed it, so...
Yeah, and produced it.
Yeah, the studio was in dire straits at that point. I get it, but Yeah, I mean, that was not best foot forward. It was bottom of the barrel shit. So it was mostly like, hey, we have this property and all these people under contract. Are we going to make this movie or not? Like, can you bang out a script by tomorrow? Let's go. So, yeah, I'm not excited about the idea of all that, but I mean, we'll see if it even fucking happens. So, I also wonder, I don't know if you saw this either. And not that they've been putting out a lot of content, but Amazon is shuttering
Yes, I heard that, to which I'm like, what are you fucking doing? Like, literally, Freevee is like your launching pad for talent. Like,
Yeah, I just don't think they wanted to put enough money into it to, first of all, it's a terrible name. But they didn't want to put enough money into it to get people into it, really. Like, you see, who, so one of the free streaming stations has been running ads, like a lot of ads lately. I can't remember if it's Tubi or one of the other ones, where it's basically like this whole like this is for the people that like the shop owner that doesn't make a lot of money and struggles with bills, but we're also for the people that terrorize the shop owner
So
because
chopped
we're
owners.
for everybody. And like it's they're really funny and you know
I think it's Tubi. I think it's Tubi that does those. Like, they're great, right?
and Amazon just didn't. Like, they were like, well, it's Amazon. People will show up. I mean, no, they won't. So,
No, they don't even fucking show up. They don't even show up for your flagship show, the
yeah.
fucking billion-dollar Lord of the Rings, fucking bozo, you fucking idiot. Prime is beyond me. I don't
Yeah.
understand how the like Netflix is weird, but at least Netflix I know about shows. Like literally, I don't know anything other than Fallout. Like what like and this Lord of the Rings nonsense that they do. I mean, I think that they have a Wheel of Time show.
Yeah, they
Like
did.
I read Wheel of Time. I should be one of their target audiences. Do you think that they do you think it comes up on my Prime? Nope.
Nope.
It's like I don't know, man. Like Prime is wild. Like it. Like I like Freevee. I liked Freevee because it gave, like, it actually had a pretty good, like, it had a pretty good one of the algorithm to where if you watched things, it actually was like. And this is the funniest thing. Like this is totally Amazon, right? Where it's like the cheap thing actually works, but the expensive thing doesn't work, right? Because like Prime TV, like. You would
Yeah.
think that, like, with my watching football, they would throw a bunch of football stuff or sports stuff at me. No, not at all. Not at all. I don't like you should see some of the recommends they give. Like for me, like it's literally the diametric opposite. It's like it's like Little Women, the animated musical series available now, and it's like something that was made in 1982 and it looks terrible. It looks like the rejects from Rankin Bass were doing the thing. It's like literally that kind of level of stupidity that my Amazon algorithm does. And I like literally the only thing I watch on that is Fallout and football. So you would think that they would go, oh, football and video games. Let's give him everything about that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, why do you spend $1 billion making a streaming service that's like ad tier supported stuff only to shutter it?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
do you have
well, all of it gets folded into Amazon Prime Video, whatever, anyway. So it's not like anything they have goes away. It's just. It's the question of why did you do this to begin with? Why did you name it something so stupid? And because it used to be called something else. They rebranded it Freevee. And
I didn't even remember it when it was something, it named something different. I didn't even know it was named something different. That's wild.
And it's not like it's been like 4 or 5 years. I think Freevee came about literally about the time we started this podcast, because that's where the James Marsden jury show was.
Jury show, yeah. No, absolutely.
And, you know, like, I don't know. It's another like weird. I get why they're doing it, because nobody's using it. I get why they're shuttering it. What's baffling to me is why you did it to begin with, without putting that. You know, it's like opening a restaurant in the middle of nowhere, and then not doing anything to get people to come see it. So, or you know, come eat there. It's like, why did you do this without knowing you were going to have to put a massive amount of effort to drive people? Like you said, they don't show up for your Prime Video stuff. Did you think they were going to show up for this? Like, you know, there were already several popular, like, free streaming, like, 24/7 channel kind of things. And you didn't do anything to make yourself stand out, and you named yourself something that was ridiculously stupid. So,
yeah.
People show up because Freevee. Like, no. Like, it sounds like a rip. Like, it's like showing, like, you tell somebody to bring Dr. Pepper to the party, and they show up with, like, Dr. Thunder. You know,
yeah, not
it's
even
like,
Mr. Pip. Not
yeah,
Mr. Pip. like Dr. Thunder, like literally.
That's
Dr.
great,
Thunder,
man. But like, I really didn't want the knockoff brand of something. I wanted Dr. Pepper. So it's. I mean, not huge news, but it is. It is kind of a bummer to lose like that free streaming thing. Now it'll just get folded into Amazon Prime Video, and if you don't have Prime, you won't have access to it. It is what it is. So, going back over to Disney, because most of the trailers we're going to talk about are Disney related, and Marvel in general. Denzel Washington himself says that Ryan Coogler is writing him a role in Black Panther 3.
That's wild. Like, right? like.
I mean, the question there is, why wasn't he in it from the beginning, I think? But, you know, it is what it is. That's fucking mind-blowing.
I mean, I think that we know why was because Denzel was being Denzel. And, like, you know, Denzel has done, there are things that he's not done, and there's things that he has done. And he has done a limited amount of sequels, and he has done really no big, like, his big budget versions of big budget blockbusters were like what we used to know as big budget blockbusters, like Crimson Tide, right? Like the work of Tony Scott, like that was big budget work for him. The landscape has changed, and I guarantee you, it's a conversation between him and his son. You know?
Oh yeah,
his son's plural, like Malcolm and John David. Like
Maybe not. I don't know. But like, and I know they're not the same age, but I think they are definitely the same level of notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Harrison Ford step into that Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Has to have lent some legitimacy to a lot of it for actors like Denzel.
Of a certain age. Yeah. No, absolutely. Of a certain stature and a certain age. Like, there are actors that are so game that they will do it, right?
I mean, you can point to, like, Anthony Hopkins, but, like, also, if you look at Anthony Hopkins' like, resume, he's taking a lot of fucking paycheck work. So, like, he is a classically trained, brilliant actor who's won awards, but also, you know, or like, Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley, but also, he was in, like, the Blood Rain movie. You know what I mean?
It's like, exactly.
Yeah, man. Like, it's not, that doesn't, as great of an actor as those two people are, it doesn't lend any real legitimacy to being in that stuff other than like, oh yeah, I took it for a paycheck, you know. It's like Stanley Tucci's another one, first Captain America movie, but also Stanley Tucci has done a lot of shit just for a paycheck. So, but Harrison Ford doesn't do shit for paychecks. Harrison Ford does shit because Harrison Ford wants to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like, I mean, and then like, it was funny because listening to him, like listening to, Ford talk about it, he had a very kind of like egoless response to it, which I found brilliant, right? Like he was like, you know, it was me, it was my problem, it wasn't Marvel. And he's like, and who am I gonna to deny myself like having fun and working with the best of the best? And that fucking like that kind of like, that's not Harrison Ford usually. Usually Harrison Ford is grumpy, grumble, and all this shit. But then, you know, it's like he says this, and that kind of has reverberations, right? It gets to a point where it's like, where, you know, that's probably something that Denzel heard. And he was like, And like, you know, all it has to be is like a, like, I mean, I can't not think that he didn't see fucking Black Panther and
he definitely saw it. But he
got hurt when he didn't play, when he wasn't like, when like he's like, that was my motherfucking role.
Well,
like,
and he should've. There's a strong spiritual connection. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that Chadwick Boseman speech talking about Denzel. Like, mm-hmm. Boseman as a kid, like wanting to get into like this acting school or whatever, and they had donors that, you know, they would reach out to sponsor people who couldn't afford to pay for the thing, and yeah. Like Denzel is literally responsible for Chadwick Boseman getting into acting, like financially responsible for him being able to do that. And I don't, until he tells that story, I don't think Denzel knew that.
No, because he gave so much to the Boys and Girls Clubs. Like, I've heard rumor of like it's in the millions, like multiple millions, because that program saved his life. And he's always been very kind of like foundationally like he's been so altruistic with his money from everything I've heard, but much like Greg Popovich in the NBA, he keeps it very quiet. Like, he promotes the like Boys and Girls Club, but the money that he gives, the outreach that he does, the work that he does, it's like I mean I give to charity, but I don't promote it. I don't put it on fucking social media, because I was told very early, at a very early age, it's not charity. If it's not charitable, it's not being altruistic if you have to shout it from the roof.
Right. You're just, you know, you're doing it for the recognition and not the actual charity of it. And, you know, it's so, it gives me a lot of hope for what Black Panther 3 can be, because we all understand why Black Panther of Wakanda Forever is the movie that it is and has the problems that it has. And I think as many swings as people want to take at Marvel, nobody swings on that movie. Really. We all just kind of shrug our shoulders and are like, yeah, but like the situation, you know, it was, everybody was already a go. You already had things in place. Chadwick Boseman passes away, and like, if you recast, that feels dishonorable. If you cancel the movie, that feels dishonorable. Like, it's not something I think he would have wanted. I mean, I can't, obviously can't speak for him, but you know, it's, yeah, you made the best with what you had and could do. This, and having Denzel in it, like, not only would feel like really honoring Chadwick Boseman, but yeah. also allowing it to move forward and have somebody in there with the clout to move it forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It gives you the like, I know it sounds stupid and stuff, but it literally allows you to say the king has returned, like in a really kind of solid way. And also, I mean, the possibilities and the way that Coogler is going to figure out a way to get Denzel into the story.
You think he's the villain?
I think he might be the villain. I also think that we might actually get an alternate version of T'Challa.
Okay.
An older version of T'Challa. Could you imagine? Like, I get choked up even thinking about the fact that, like, if you give, like, if Denzel plays old man T'Challa,
here's the thing, though. Love Denzel Washington. Like, mm-hmm. unabashedly, man can't do accents.
He can't. He literally can't. But, I don't know, man. Maybe that's the final frontier for him, right? Like, I mean, could you imagine, like, if he's saying, like, so you know that Coogler has already come to him. Like, you know that Coogler has already talked to him about the idea. So the idea is germinated enough for Denzel to get super excited to, like,
yep.
be running off these projects and going, hey, and Coogler's writing something for me in Black Panther 2. You know that it's something big enough to where Coogler was like, we could get Denzel for this. And, like, it becomes, what do you want Denzel to do? Like, and then it becomes, like, what can he do? And there's very little that he can't. I mean, even at what, 63, I think he is right now, 65.
Yeah. I mean, he's. We'll see what happens next week, but you know, I mean, he might be about to be in one of the biggest movies of the fall.
Yeah.
And if it is really, really good, like, you know, there could be a lot of consideration going on.
Well, I mean, I've heard that the tracking numbers went through the roof.
Yeah. After
last week. Like, it went from, like, a to, like, this movie's going to probably break 9 figures opening weekend because, like, it was, like, one of those things where it's, like, it wasn't a zeitgeisty thing, and now all of a sudden it is a zeitgeisty thing, and, like, you look at the trailers, and, like, it's all to say that, like, yeah, this could be, like, the resurgence of him, and who knows, maybe Coogler saw the movie and went, oh, shit, yeah, yeah. We need to get Denzel in this right away, because
I hope he's the villain. He's doing. Like, I want to see him do, like, I want to see him play that, like, big, larger-than-life villain thing.
That would be, I mean, he's got the of course he has the presence for it. I mean from all accounts, like, his character in Gladiator 2 is kind of like a persona non grata. It's like he's like a like an agent of chaos more than anything else, than is out for himself. He doesn't care about anybody, so he is kind of like a villain-esque character. So it would be nice to see him in a villain, like as the kids say, like, is he going into his villain era? Maybe he is. I mean, it's super exciting though. Like, that kind of makes me feel like it's not that we're going to forget about Chad. We'll never forget about Chad. But it makes it like, okay, we can move forward, because how, like, you can't replace Chad, but what you can do is honor him, but not in that way that they did. Like, I mean, like, let's be honest, Wakanda Forever is a procession march. It's a funeral.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that movie is, a 2.5 hour funeral. And I mean, absolutely. Chadwick Boseman absolutely deserves that. Like, I know in 20 years, all the kids that are going to be our age, like the guys that watched it in their mid-20s, are going to talk about Wakanda Forever the way that we talk about Empire. It's going to have that reverence, right? For me, it doesn't work because it's just so dour and it goes nowhere. It is so dour. It is so kind of like, it's sunk beneath the memory of Chadwick Boseman. Yeah. And that's a hard
thing. And the whole, the move, like, once you get past even that and dealing with the death of him in real life and in the movie. Then the movie proceeds to spend 2 hours, like, I don't want to say preaching at you because that sounds derogatory, but like basically being like, yeah, we're all fucked. Like everything's fucked. Like everything we're doing is just fucking up everything. Like, you know, society is bullshit. And like, it's just so heavy. It's like, man, I like, you can't come out of that movie feeling really good at all. Even with the like upbeat stuff towards the end, it's hard to feel good at the end of that movie. And it's one of the roughest Marvel watches. Like, at least with Eternals, I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking boring. Like, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is just, it's just tough because it's so depressing.
Well,
So.
yeah, and then the and it's a yeah. I mean, and they didn't like, and let's be honest, they didn't have. They really shot themselves in the foot with getting rid of Michael B. Jordan. Like, they really did.
They didn't know.
They didn't know. They really didn't know. But, like, there's this thing where I keep on going. It's like, I know they want to, like, honor Chad and not recast it, and that's fine. But you need to find a compelling lead, a lead that can plant. Like,
Yeah,
I
I
don't.
like her, but she's not gonna, she's it she does she can't carry those films. She can't.
She can't, like, even with the writing, like, here's the weird part is that I look to the writing and the writing is there. It's just they're not, she is not, like, Letitia Wright is not a strong enough presence. Like, maybe if Lupita Nyong'o had a bigger role, but here's the problem is that they wrote themselves into a corner with Lupita Nyong'o because they wanted to do the whole thing with having
Yep.
T'Challa's son. And then that makes it impossible for her to be a factor in the movie. And then you like the Dora Milaje, like they're not a factor because they are not the queen or princess of Wakanda. So
Yeah.
you can't downshift the focus. It was an impossible situation. And I know that my favorite part about this is that out of that grief, out of that trauma of having to make that movie, like Coogler and B and Jordan wrote this Sinners movie that's being released, and I
Which
find that
looks
very,
fucking great.
it looks incredible, right? I find that very interesting that that's your bounce back, that that's your volley after you threw what you needed to do because you had no choice, right? And then you were freed from the chains of the Black Panther, kind of like, the weight of Chadwick Boseman to make something. And this is what you make. You make like a down and dirty vampire movie that's shot on 70 millimeter, but it's all about people. Like, it literally looks, that's what it is. Like, it's about people, right? It's
Yeah.
it looks like Rio Bravo meets a Rio Bravo in the South. Meets a vampire story, which is like, I mean, that's like, fucking inject that into my fucking arms, right? But I also feel like he got away from it in a way that it frees him, right? And it allows him to reset. And I kind of think that that's what we need going back into Black Panther 3. Like, if there is going to be a back, like, if there ever was going to be one, right? And approaching it from another perspective, I feel like is the absolute best way to do this. So I full well expect it to be a very different movie, different than the first movie, as much as the second one is different than the first one because of Chadwick's death. And then now with the third one being, what do you do to pick up those pieces when you absolutely, like, let's be honest, it absolutely, like, everybody knows, even Coogler kind of knows that didn't work. Like, it was a nice goodbye, but how do you move forward?
Yeah.
Nothing worked to make that move forward. Like, even Namor, like Namor didn't work. It landed, like, it worked, but it didn't, right? Like, it all would have worked a little bit better if Chadwick was there. Like, it would, I don't know if it would have been great, but it would have been a lot better than what we got. And we would have had more forward momentum. But again, And I understand the caution at which you're probably trying to go back to this movie, right? Like, because of, it's like, that's like a, it's not a blight, but it's definitely a mark on your, like, something that surrounds it is like this, like, it's almost like it's a legendary, it's like a, it's almost untouchable now, right? Like, you can't, because of his death and the memorial that we have for it, like the memorandum that we have for it, you kind of have to completely reset. But how do you reset when everything, like, I still count Black Panther as the best Marvel movie. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, it is the best Marvel movie.
It's up there.
It's not because of the fact that Chadwick Boseman died, but, like, everything about it works. Like, you rewatch that movie and you start to forget Chad's gone, and then you get caught up in everything in that movie because you forget about it. And it's only at the end when the movie really ends and you go, oh, fuck, I forgot Chadwick is gone. And it just becomes this sadness, right? I don't know, man. Like, it's like, I feel like that's an interesting hiccup, and not a hiccup in a bad way, but just it's an interesting hiccup to see that Denzel is going to be in the Marvel universe. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Jesus, that's going to be interesting. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the Chadwick of it all, like, it, if you want to see the last thing he did for Marvel, go watch What If Season 2. Like, there's truly, truly a, like, lovely farewell with him there that, you know, nobody knew that was going to be it. So, since we're talking What If.
What If,
So, since I brought it up, it's a good, we got a trailer for the final season, season 3 of What If. There's a lot of shit in this trailer, and I don't want to go through every bit of it, but the big reveal at the end, Storm, like, and with
four.
Yeah. I mean that's straight up from, like, some comics. Like, she wielded the hammer at one point. Like, that's great, but, like, A, there's going to be an actual legit X-Men character in What If. That's a first. It's not our first, because we have Beast at the end of
Marvel,
the Marvels, but yeah, it's another really, really big step. Monica Rambeau also showing up in this, voiced by Tiona Paris from the Marvels. So knowing she's going to be in it, but, like, have you looked at the cast list?
For the
voice actor list?
I did not see the voice actor list.
Natasha Lyonne has entered the fucking building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's playing a character named Birdie.
Now this is the big thing, right? Is this tied to her role in, whatchamacallit, in Fantastic Four?
Possibly. So this character is a new character. So they introduced a new character in season 2. So this will be another new character for the show.
Okay.
So let's see. Birdie is an original character who is shown flying into action alongside Captain Carter and Kahori
the Native American
character. Yeah. So I mean Birdie probably isn't that. So Birdie is the Falcon to Peggy Carter's Captain America.
Oh, okay. That's
so I doubt that that's her character in Fantastic Four, but that might be her alternate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So absolutely. I think we had talked about her being Alicia Masters, maybe, but I don't know. Time will tell there, but I was excited to see she was part of the voice cast. America Ferrera is also part of the voice cast, but I was intrigued by some of the people I didn't know would be returning to voice characters.
I'm looking at this right now and seeing some very interesting names show up.
Like, we hear Kat Dennings, like, with Seth Green. Like, that's in the trailer. And there's small ones like Taika Waititi coming back as Korg. Like, that's interesting. But it's not a big reveal. Most people probably wouldn't think Walton Goggins coming back as Sonny Birch is a big deal.
Yes.
But what are you doing with that character? That's interesting. Okay, yeah.
Seriously, what are you doing with that? Okay, but here's the thing. What makes Walton Goggins come back to do voice work?
Yeah, I mean, just, he always seems game, so maybe just because, and they presented him with a good story. But, I mean, has anybody thought about that character since the end of the second Ant-Man movie?
No.
Unless you're a Walton Goggins fan, you know?
Even if you're a Walton Goggins fan, you're kind of like...
Oh, yeah, he was in that movie. I forgot.
Exactly. Which also makes me think about, like, does he have a... Does, like, is the ascent of Walton Goggins... Like, who would have thought that it would take this long? Because, I mean, he's like that kind of Quentin character actor that we all love, but yeah. It's taken him this long to get to the point to where, like, you know, he's in shit like Fallout, and we're just kind of like you and I, we've talked about Goggins. I mean, like, you know, Walton Goggins is the guy who looks like...
There's an early episode of this podcast named Walton Goggins is an American Treasure, and it's mostly, like, at least an hour of us, like, kissing his ass and talking about how much we love him, so...
Exactly. I mean, you know, and this is always a good time because we both love the fucking show to implore you guys, because we will be making a big deal about it in 2025 because it's coming back. But The Righteous Gemstones, you need to fucking watch that show if you have not watched it. Baby Billy is probably one of the best characters ever put on the screen. you know, so, but yes, Walton Goggins.
Another one that gives me a little hope that maybe the character's not dead, even though the show ended like so stupidly. Oscar Isaac back as Moon Knight. So that gives me a little hope. And hell, maybe animation is where Moon Knight needs to exist. You know,
I wouldn't be out of the realm of that. Like, if they just did, and it's the kind of thing that Oscar Isaacs would do. Like, he's such a mercurial man. Like, you know, he loves his stage plays and stuff. So, like, let him stay on the stage and maybe make Moon Knight Mark an animated thing. And I mean, you could go really wild with that. Like, Moon Knight is such a way that if you can't give them $200 million to do Moon Knight, then maybe animation is the way to go about it, because it's so kind of like, it's made for that phasmagoric kind of thing that Doctor Strange kind of takes the avenue of. Actually, the one that surprises me, and the one that I wanted to ask you about, and you probably already know, you might have saved this one for last, I don't know, but Clark Gregg.
So there's three. Clark Gregg. It doesn't surprise me because, like, he did show up in Ms. Marvel. like, it's not that he's not been game. It's that they've been kind of shitty about, like, the show that he did for them for so long. And I get it. Like, the Marvel TV stuff, there was the Perlmutter Feige feud of it all. And, like, I understand but you don't have to be shitty about the show, especially when you've now fully embraced the Netflix stuff, which hush. I don't know what she's barking at. But yeah, it'll be nice to have Coulson back in some official capacity. I'm really hoping that somehow he's part of him and Sam Jackson are both going to be in this season, that they're the Project Avenger, which is like the big mech warrior thing that we see, which that's a cool moment in the trailer when he says Avenger Assemble, and it's like fucking Voltron. I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. But for me, the two that I'm really, really excited about, because A, I thought they had really great chemistry together. Dominic Cooper as Howard Stark coming back, but also James Darcy as Jarvis coming
back. As Jarvis. Yeah, well, let's be clear, as Edwin Jarvis. There's a very big difference between Jarvis and Edwin Jarvis, because for people that, like, and then that just means that the Haley Atwell of it all is going to, like, the trifecta is going to be back, because
hopefully all in the same episode. I hope we get all of them in the same episode.
Absolutely, like that would be kind of great, and I hope that they do. Like, I really do hope that it is a reunion, that, like, because a lot of these what ifs are kind of like the possibility of the thing or the concept, and like, but also giving fans things that they really want that will never happen. Like one of my favorites of the what ifs is the way that they reinterpreted the medieval version of the Avengers, and they just basically made it into a 90s swashbuckling movie. Like, I mean, like, instead of making it dark and dour, they made it like, you know, the Three Musketeers by way of the Avengers. But I'm not talking about the three, I'm talking about literally the 90s version of the Three Musketeers, because it was like literally that kind of feel good goofiness. And it's just like these are very much so, like, I love watching these because they're just nothing but 30 minutes of like contained joy. Like, even if they end badly, they're just like, you know, it's just like, wow, this is kind of great. This is really kind of great.
And I mean, it's not a huge surprise because she just did a show, but the fact that the character of Agatha is going to be featured in an episode of What If, like, is kind of exciting. Catherine Hahn, of course, is doing the voice. Like, if you watch the trailer, she's like the lady, like, bathed in like all white light with the headdress. And like, so it's going to be an interesting version of Agatha, maybe a nice version of Agatha. So I don't know, we'll see. Oh, also Camille Nanjiani Pingo is going to be in this season, which is going to be the first hint of anything with the Eternals since the Eternals, I think. Well, so
yeah, we're getting a 1-2 punch, because in February we're getting the is it Thunderbolts, or is it
no? It's gonna be Captain America that shows us what the fuck is going on with that big thing in the ocean. The one if I know you at all, I think you're probably with me on this. The one I'm most interested right now in seeing is, apparently there's a Shang-Chi Western episode.
Yes. Where Leo and everybody has come back for.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I mean, all you needed to do was just say Western, and you knew that he was probably going to be into
it. And Kate Bishop is with him? Like,
yes.
Like, that's Haley so Atwell bizarre.
But, okay, so, like, think of it, like, let's go ahead and think of it this way. If they're playing the trope of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, that makes complete sense. Because if Kate is playing the Tonto role, the arrows would make a lot of sense. I'm not saying that that's like what they're doing, and they're kind of like, but if it's that kind of, if that's the kind of play that they're making on it, like an adventure, like a serious adventure of it, like, and in the Wild West, it would make sense that Kate Bishop would be like kind of like his partner, maybe his backup. And because she has, you know, she's a crack shot with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I'm just excited that we're getting Kate Bishop in any shape or form, because it's been far too long since Hawkeye. Far too long.
So, a few other characters confirmed to appear, but not really sure who's voicing them. Mysterio is going to appear, Quentin Beck. I seriously doubt it's Jake Gyllenhaal. If I had to guess, they're going to go to their go-to, like, he can do the voice of Ross Marquand. Like, he's probably going to be doing that. Dormammu is in it. I would guess probably also Ross Marquand doing that. And the other villain from the first Doctor Strange movie, whose name I can never fucking pronounce, played by Mads Mikkelsen. It's like Cassilis, however they say it. The guy that Mads Mikkelsen played in Doctor Strange, that villain character will also be
Yes.
showing up. But I doubt it's going to be Mads Mikkelsen doing the voice. Like, I feel like if they already had him, like, he would be in the list. Not that he's like a huge get, but
Well,
yeah, you
really,
know, like, yeah.
yeah. I
So,
mean, yeah. It's
it's an
like.
exciting like rundown. Like, I'm really, really stoked for these episodes.
Well, and then the other big thing that we didn't talk about, like the other, like I was waiting for you to talk about it, like, but they got Hemsworth and Hiddleston to come back as
I
Loki
think
and.
Hemsworth was in season two.
I
So
don't
that
think.
didn't surprise
Are
me.
we sure? Are we sure that he voiced it? I'm going to check right now, just really quickly. But also, I mean, of course, I mean, like, I love the fact that you just give Josh Brolin a bag of potato chips and he'll show up. Like, I
Yeah.
just.
Yeah, but Brolin was in season two as well. Like, he was in the Chadwick Boseman episode. And it's really, really sweet what they do. I know we can't get more of like that version of the Black Panther, but I really do hope that we get like more from that version of Thanos. So, yeah, he's done. He was in season one and season two.
Yep, he was.
He's in the Happy Hogan Saves Christmas episode thing.
Yes.
So, yeah. Hiddleston also not a surprise because he definitely seemed, actually both of them really seemed down for the Marvel stuff. Like, they really not in a like, oh, we know where our bread is buttered and I guess we have to do this. Like, they genuinely seem to enjoy it, and as long as it fits within their schedule, they both always seem down to do whatever Marvel needs them to do.
Is very true. You are correct in regards to that. Like there's never not a thing that Hemsworth or like you said, or Hiddleston won't do for this. I mean, they continued on with the short films after everybody else stopped. Like, I mean, you know, like and I have to say, like, that's kind of commendable. When
I
you
think Hemsworth definitely felt more open to some of the smaller stuff after after his like diagnosis about his family medical history and all that stuff, and how, you know, not that he has a disease, but just the odds that he might have something like truly terrible in his genes. Just I feel like it became less about the like, oh, I don't, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of my life like working out and looking like this, but you just need me to show up and record something small, or a voice, or like, okay, I'm down, you know. So
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that, like, I like when, like, I like when the, like, th this is the kind of, like, proving ground to me of, like, who is actually true blue, like, their game, they like the fun of it all, and who is just like, no, I'm a real actor.
yeah.
And we know who those are. We know who that is. I'm talking to somebody that's in Redone this weekend. Your ass is only going to get so many. Like, can we just take a sidebar and talk about the shittiness of Chris Evans' film work?
Like, I mean, since his Marvel day was done, it has been not good. So not
good whatsoever.
I think we talked about this one when Deadpool came out about, like, not that he did it because he, but like Downey very similarly, although he did get his in with Chris Nolan, but like, dude, like nothing you're doing is, it's not even box office draw. Like,
no,
you know,
no,
maybe you should have, you know, stayed with the lady you brought to, or the person that brought you to the dance. So, I mean, time will tell on the Chris Evans thing. I would bet good money by the time we get to, Secret War that, we're going to see Chris Evans as Cap again.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like, as much as I love Mackie, like, there's a part of me that feels like, I know this sounds like really shitty, but there's a part of me that feels like Brave New World. Like, we kind of,
let's talk about that trailer.
Yeah. Oh, so, good.
Since we're here.
Yeah. Like,
it's so funny. So our conversation in text, the Thunderbolts trailer drops first.
Yes.
And we're both losing our minds because we'll talk about that in a second. Holy shit, what a great trailer. And both of us have the same thought of, like, we're getting so much Thunderbolts. We're now worried about Captain America. Maybe it's not good. And that's why they're like, hey guys, we got this movie coming. Look how much fun it's going to be. It looks incredible. It's funny. It's fun. There's so much action. It's great. And like, we're like, shit, we're fucking worried about Captain America because it really seems like they're just glossing over it and been like, yeah, it's probably not going to do good. So we're just going to not talk about it before it even comes out. Not an hour later, the new, I don't even think it was 30 minutes later, the new Captain America trailer drops. Yeah. And like, okay, we're wrong. Like, ultimately, we might be right. Like, maybe the movie is not good. But that fucking trailer, I think your text was, that is more Winter Soldier than the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that was my text. I mean, because it, like, fucking Christ, man. It's exact, okay. Like,
it's so tense.
And they're playing up the very specific, like, atmosphere that we're living in right now. And I'm not going to say that that's a good thing or a bad, I actually think it's kind of a good thing because they're leaning into it, but also
it might, you know, bite them in the ass at the box office and with, like,
yeah,
a bigger audience. But I don't care, man. Like, yeah, it, unfortunately, it absolutely feeds into a lot of the things some of us are feeling and experiencing and mm-hmm. worried about. But at the same time, it makes it so compelling because, like, I want to see how this is going to play out. Like, how is he going to go toe-to-toe with a monster? Why is, like, is he the Red Hulk by choice or by accident?
Yeah, or is it because of, like, Ezra? Like, my theory is that I'm almost certain that after the Ezra attack, like, it's all being, I mean, because we're dealing with a villain that literally, his mind is Hulkified, right? I almost wonder if this is all a plan to make things go super sideways, right? Like, this whole, like, Emperor's plan to kind of do this thing, right? Where he gets hurt because of Ezra, right? Because of the attack on Ezra. And Ezra is out of his fucking mind for whatever reason. And it forces Thunderbolt into a situation where he's doing something that maybe he not necessarily wants to do, but feels that he has to do, and give right. himself the serum. But it turns out that the serum isn't the green serum. It's the red serum. And as we all know, in, you know, in comic bookdom, like the Red Hulk is very different than the Green Hulk, as the Green Hulk is very different from the Gray Hulk or the other colored Hulks that are out there.
I do like the one moment of brevity in the trailer when that reporter's like, "They come in red now." Like, it's pretty funny. But yeah, like that whole trailer, like the split screen usage, the frames moving, that it is a brilliant piece of work for a movie that, like, literally up until we got that trailer, I expected to enjoy it, but I was worried it was going to fall in the level of like the Marvels, where I enjoy it just fine, but it is not Marvel at its peak. And that trailer made me feel like, I mean, when we were texting, like, I was like, I know we keep saying this, but like, I'm really starting to feel like they got their fucking mojo back.
And got it back in a different way, and in a way that feels like it's evolved, right? Like, they learned from their mistakes. They learned from the non-successes. And, like, this is going to be a movie where I feel like my biggest hope is that we're not going to talk about the reshoots. We're not going to talk about anything other than this is, like, this, just like Civil War before it, and just like Winter Soldier before it, and just like the first Avenger, is, like, within a certain kind of specific type of movie, like the political thriller, it's just all done from different optics, right? And I love, like you mentioned, the screen, the shifting, like, split screens, because it totally feels like a 70s paranoid thriller. But yeah, it feels more, it doesn't feel like, it feels like Parallax View and not 3 Days of the Condor. Because, like, 3 Days of the Condor is, like, more Winter Soldier, right? Where Parallax View feels like a man who is in, out of his element, right? Like, completely out of his element. And I kind of like you stacking the deck against Sam, and Sam having to figure things out in his own way. Like, it doesn't look like, the thing that I took away from it that I really fucking liked is that, A, this movie is going to be about light. And I fucking love that. I love the fact that we're going to actually get what makes Sam Sam, right? What makes Falcon Falcon, but as Captain America. But also, it's like, he doesn't have super serum. So this is basically a normal dude. He probably has an exo suit that makes him a little bit more powerful, but he's not Cap. And so it gives me this sense of tension. And then also, you know, the whole situation of, like, you can tell that everybody, like, you know, they're not saying it, but they're using the whole coverage of, well, you're not my Captain America. We know what that means. It's a coded message. And yeah, I kind of like the way that Mackie is kind of defiantly like, well, fuck you. I'm my own Captain America.
I mean, they kind of reframe what we saw in the first trailer of the, you're not Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
It's reframed just a little bit in this trailer, but it still has that same, like, it doesn't feel as defeatist as it did in the original trailer. Yes. It feels more defiant in this, when he's like, you're right, I'm not. And of course, when you immediately cut to more action set pieces, it does give that defiance. But yeah, this trailer is, all three of these trailers, but the two live action trailers, just works of art, man. That, like, now the only worry is that the movie cannot hold up to how good this trailer is.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kevin has learned very quickly, very early. You show what you have. You show your cards, right? And then you deliver. None of the trailers recently, from recent films, with the exception of the Guardians trailers,
I do think that they're past the point of not that they won't keep secrets, but I think they've passed that point of, like, we have to keep everything absolutely secret. Like, I understand why they did it for Spider-Man, and it was still the worst kept secret in Hollywood. But like, the Agatha is a good example of that. Like, it's not that they were keeping anything secret, they just weren't telling you anything. And it's like, it's a, we're just not going to talk about it, just watch the show. And I, like, I'm down, like, it would have been an absolute mistake to keep pretending like the Red Hulk wasn't in this movie.
Yeah.
And I know we got that at the end of that, the first teaser trailer thing, the fist, or, you know, like, oh shit, Red Hulk. But like, if they just had kept pretending that's not who he's playing, it would have been, I think it would have been disastrous for him.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Because not, I wish people were compelled to go see it just based on, like, we have a new Captain America. We have this black guy as Captain America. Like, but unfortunately, in our current environment, like, a lot of people would just be like, oh, well, I'm not going to see that. So, but you're also giving them this, like, oh shit, there's a giant Red Hulk and he's going to beat up Captain America. Like, what is that about? Like, you're showing your cards and being like, yeah, but this is what we have. And then you're going to kind of deliver this backdoor political message on top of that. I love it, man. I love it.
I really do. Like, it's a, like, it's, like, I would normally say it's a very punk rock way to do it, but I'm gonna take a cue from Mackie, and I'll say, like, this is kind of like a Wu-Tang Clan way of doing it. We don't give a fuck about you or Wu-Tang. Like, and that's the flag that they're planting. And it's like, I kind of like that defiantness. Like, I love that defiantness. Like, I love that, fuck you, I'm gonna do what we're going to maintain our business. We're going to do our business. But you know what? We're going to even get the haters to come and see us. Why? Because we got a Hulk, but not just a Hulk. We got Harrison Ford as a Hulk, and not even just as Hulk. We have him as a Red Hulk. Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be fun, man. Like, and it's going to, like, it has me so excited. And as excited as I am for that, I'm so much more excited for the fucking Thunderbolts movie.
Yeah, that this next preview, like, I don't even know how to, like, it's the way and I hope I'm not jinxing it, but, like, do you remember, like, let's go back to 2014, back in the day when we were film dispenser, and then we saw that fucking trailer dropped, man, that fucking Guardians trailer dropped, and it got us all so hyped. Now I know that movie did not turn out to be the what you wanted, but that feeling that we all had after we saw that thing, that's the kind of feeling I have about Thunderbolts after these two previews, because they're not just, like, James Gunn is, like, I love him, but he's about 15 years older than both of us, right? Like, almost 15. I think he's just about to turn, or no, he's like 8 or 9 years older than us. I think he's in his mid 50s right now. The thing is that his reference, musical reference, isn't what I lived with, even though I know them. Like, whoever's doing the needle drops on the Thunderbolts, they absolutely lived in our life.
Possum Kingdom by the Toadies, like,
oh my god,
I guess you could just point to it as a one hit wonder, but, like, it's such a, like, it's that grunge, and that's what the Thunderbolts needs to be, and there's so much acknowledgement of that in the trailer, like, and there's so much, like, pettiness and just,
yes,
shitty finger pointing, and like, it's such disarray.
Dysfunction.
It's so perfect, man. Like, that moment with U.S. Agent or John Walker, whatever you want to call him, Captain America Light, with him and the new Black Widow, with Yelena, Yeah, she calls him Dime Store Captain America or
Captain
something.
America, yeah.
And he's like, I was, ca or I think Ghost calls him Dime Store Captain America. And he goes, I actually was Captain America. And Yelena says, yeah, for like 30 seconds. It's so, it's like, I want this movie so fucking much. And here's like, they know they have something. They fucking know they have something because there are test screenings that they are maybe not letting people talk about, but they're not shutting that shit down.
No, they are definitely not. And that's the indicator, right? Like the indicator that like, okay, so like, I feel like, Marvel is best when they're their underdogs. And I know that sounds weird, but think about like when we've gotten the best Marvel movies are the things when we have doubted them, right? Or not even us, but just like the fandom as a whole, like just didn't think that they were going to do anything, right? Or they couldn't possibly, like this couldn't possibly happen. Okay, well, hold my beer and I'm going to figure it out. I feel like right now we're in this point where either purposefully or unintentionally, every single project that Marvel has done has been like recently, like literally starting with Deadpool and Wolverine, has been, there has been a big sector of fandom that has been against it and thinks that it's not going to work.
I mean, and these projects, like Captain America aside, like Thunderbolts, mm-hmm. Deadpool, Wolverine, even Agatha,
like especially Agatha.
You, these are things you would point to a few years ago and go, "You, there's no way you can pull this off." But to your point, that's what we said about Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we said about Iron Man. That's what we said about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, you can't pull this off and make people feel compelled to, like, to just keep showing up for this shit. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to pull all this off. And they did. And Thunderbolts does feel like spiritually Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, yeah. I have my problems with that first movie. Like, we don't have to rehash any of that. But it is successful. And, I mean, regardless of how I feel about it, it was fucking huge. Yeah. So, like, I hope I'm not setting myself up for another Guardians level like disappointment where like I'm so amped for this and then I get there and it wasn't what I wanted it to be. But I'm having a really hard time not feeling that way because and this is a group of characters who, yes, exist in the comic book, and but none of this is from the comics. None of that. Not, it might adapt a storyline and insert these characters into it. We don't really even know what the story is. But not, this is not the Thunderbolts from the comics. Like, that's the original Thunderbolts from the comics. It is a similar concept, but completely different in every way. Even, like, the revitalized Thunderbolts throughout like its iteration in the comics,
mm-hmm.
it didn't exist like this. You're taking characters like outside of Bucky and maybe Yelena, because she had such a positive reaction, mostly just because of that performance. Like, everybody was charmed by it. You're taking those two characters and a bunch of minor characters that, let's be honest, a lot of people that saw those projects didn't fucking like those characters. People were not happy with the Ghost thing from Ant-Man. They definitely were not happy about the Taskmaster stuff from Black Widow. I think we all enjoyed Red Guardian, but it is a schlocky kind of goofy performance. But I'm here for that. We love David Harbour. Who else do we have? Oh, John Walker. Like, you can argue like the acting ability. He is great, but nobody liked that fucking character.
nobody, like, nobody liked that show. But now you recontextualize it, you use your used parts and stuff, and it's like, I mean, but you give him a space where he's, like, allowed to do what he's supposed to do, right? Like, he's supposed to be dime store fucking Cap, and he's supposed to be able to, like, he's gonna do the shit that Cap doesn't do. He's basically Bucky, right? Like, he's Bucky if Cap, like, if he had powers, it's like you're taking those used the Island of Misfit toys and you're giving them a chance to, like, they're basically out suicide squad.
Yeah,
I mean, that's essentially what they're doing, right? Like, I mean, Thunderbolts were, like, the version of the Thunderbolts that I remember was very different. It's a very different thing. Like, I mean, like, I grew up, like, we grew up with the reintroduction of Thunderbolts, and so, like, at the end of that first run where it's revealed where they're bad guys, I mean, that was shocking to me when I was a kid. Like, shocking. Like, I did not realize that, like, you know, like, this was a thing, right? And
yeah,
so, but there were, but this, like, being about, like, you know, the dirty assassins, the jaunty, like, failed assassins, like, our group of, like, wet workers, government agents, it's, like, kind of...
that not only weren't liked by the people in the worlds that they occupied...
Exactly.
Viewers didn't like most of them. Yes. So, and I mean, just repurposing all of that, and I don't know, man, the trailer looks... It just looks like so much fun, and I cannot wait to see this movie.
And Bob.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, much like the Winter Soldier, people mm-hmm. who know. Like, yeah, we know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, you even see that shot of him in the trailer, like, fucking taking a giant leap off the edge of the building. But that's gonna be like, are they going to show us more of that? Versus, like, the opposite of what we have with the Red Hulk, I feel like that's the thing you don't need to show. I think you have enough everywhere else that you don't have to show that stuff.
I don't think you do, though. Like, I think you just show just enough to realize, oh, okay, this is a very different. And I love the fact that, like, no one is talking about the fact that Marvel has decided to make a Top Gun joke. Yeah. And add to a Top Gun joke. Because Lewis Pullman played a character whose call sign was Bob. Like, go back to, like, that, like, made me fucking howl when I first saw the trailer. Because I was like, fucking Lewis Pullman as Bob? I was like, he was Bob. Oh my god, that's fucking hilarious. And it also makes me wonder if, like, and I know this sounds weird, but I almost wonder if they, like, I know there was, we know that there was quite a bit of rewriting, both during pre-production and then post-production, like, you know, the reshoots. Is there any chance that maybe, because he's the perfect person to do it, because he won an Academy Award for fucking writing this kind of movie, Christopher McQuarrie got involved?
I mean, maybe, but I doubt it. I feel like we would know that by now.
Not necessarily, because, you know, there's some people that just don't like to be told. Like, I mean, again, yeah, you're probably right. But it like, there's this dream of mine that thinks that, like, maybe McQuarrie gets involved in the Marvel Universe for the better. Because, I mean, I don't know. There are very few people that do scripting the way that he does, that, like, just, like, and it just feels like it does. It feels like that doesn't, it doesn't, it feels like the usual suspects. Like, it feels like a, and maybe that's what I love so much about it. And maybe that's what was rewritten. I don't know. I mean, we will never know.
The noted script writers are Eric Pearson, who's done Marvel work before. He also worked on the screenplay for Transformers 1, a movie we both absolutely loved, and worked on Agent Carter. So, like, you have Marvel, like, despite the fact that he also worked on the last Thor movie, but
but
you,
Lee Sun Jin.
So he came with what's his name? The director. Who is the guy? Yeah. That did
Beef. Jake Schaefer. Yeah.
But he also worked on not a show I liked, but that Tuca and Birdie show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Which has like that irreverence thing. But that's for true. Me, it's the Joanna Callow of it all. Like, you're talking about somebody that worked on The Bear, that worked on BoJack, that worked on Hacks, that also worked on Beef. Like, that's some real fucking, like, solid, like, that kind of writing. That kind of...
Yeah, that's true.
Like, crassness, that kind of, like... it's hard to put it into words, but like if you are a BoJack fan, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
well, hell, if you're a Bear fan,
or like the Bear, yeah, like it's not necessarily shitty people doing shitty things to each other, but it's that like that humanity of it all, of like we're all just like really fucking flawed people, and we just keep hurting each other. But,
absolutely.
But also, it can be really, really funny.
Yeah, like the crassness is there. Like that's the like, you know, in The Bear, you can kind of see the DNA of like the way that people are put together, and you don't relate well, but you work well. Like that's the thing that I feel like Thunderbolts it feels like a workplace comedy. Where it understands that nobody gets along, but everybody works well together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's not The Office, because The Office is very different. It's The Office is you don't work well and you don't like each other. It's almost like a cockeyed view of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where everybody works well together, but they get along. But this is more of like, it's like The Bear, like where everybody works together very well. You gel, you coalesce, you work well, but your isms just rub against everybody the wrong way. And so, like, instead of holding it back, you just let it out, because it's the only way that you'll be able to function, unless you call people on their bullshit and then they call you on yours. It's the kind of stuff that I love. Like, it really is The Bear is a throwback to 90s movies. Or 90s, like, you know, like 90s culture. I feel like this is very much so, like, it feels like a throwback to 90s. Like, and not in the fact that we're all shitty and toxic or bullshit like that, but just like in the way that, like I said, like the model for this for me, it feels like is The Usual Suspects, right? Where y'all don't get along, y'all hate each other. But you're going to do a job. And when you do that job, you're going to do it well. I love those kinds of Dirty Dozen type of movies that I feel like reached the apex in the 90s. And then we just didn't really see them again. Like we didn't see like they tried to do it. And I think Gunn did a different version of it with Guardians. But
this does feel more like, yeah, Dirty Dozen's a good kind of comp. You know, I'm so stoked for this. I hope it doesn't disappoint. I'm gonna do my best not to like get my hopes up to Guardians level, but yeah, I'm really really excited for that.
And did you hear, like, I didn't even realize this, it was just in brief mentioning, like, I actually, because he was talking about the fact that he's going to be in the new Jack Ryan movie that Krasinski is making, Wendell Pierce let it slip that he's in the Guardian Thunderbolts, and I did not know that. And that makes me super fucking excited.
Yeah, that's, I wonder who he's playing.
I have no idea. He just kind of mentioned
maybe just thing. Somebody working with Contessa. Like
that's true.
That would seem like his kind of thing. Yeah, like so much good stuff coming from Marvel. That D23 Brazil Expo like gave us a lot of other, like our first look at first really good look at Stitch from the live action Stitch movie, which I'm still very trepidatious about, much like the How to Train Your Dragon live action thing. I'm like, I don't wish it ill, but like those are so beloved to me. I'm just like, yeah, if you fuck this up, man, like I don't know. I don't know if I want to go see it and risk. Like I might literally have to wait until somebody tells me like, yeah, you got to go see it. It's good. So
have you seen the little, like, so I think that with Wicked, there's supposedly, the rumor is that the trailer is dropping.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go see Wicked though.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure the trailer will be online, of course, but like, I don't know if a trailer can sell me on, again, I love those properties so much that, yeah, it might literally take somebody I know and trust telling me, go see it, it's really good, because I just don't want it to be fucked up.
I will report back how many tears that I've cried at the trailer.
Because, I mean, I'm sure I'll recant that when it comes out. Like, I'll be like there the first day, and you know. But I'm really worried about them.
I am, but you know, when you've got like Chris DeBoyes coming back to direct, you've got Gerard Butler playing, And then, I mean, and then, of course, the most important thing is what's his name is doing the director of photography for it. Jesus Christ, what's his name? We love him. The Coen Brothers guy before they broke up. Roger Deakins. Roger Deakins is doing the cinematography.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, he was the cinematography advisor on the animated film.
So. All of them, yeah. But I feel like the trailer is just going to be the same trailer from the first movie where you meet Toothless.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's going to be that. And that's all you need, really. Like, you do that and we have to wait until next November and you probably have sold 100 million people. You probably have people crying. Like, I'll probably.
Yeah.
Because it's just so like, I've never watched, like, I don't talk about those movies too much just because they are so just kind of deeply personal just because they're about a boy and his aunt and his pet, and it's just like but anywho, I've heard that there's going to be a trailer and I'm very excited. I'm excited for this because I feel like they've done everything right to make it right, and let's just hope they stick the landing on this one. The Lilo and Stitch stuff, yeah. I mean, like, it's definitely... I also wonder, are they going to get Elvis songs?
I mean, maybe.
I'm truly curious. Like, are they going to do the Elvis thing again?
I mean, is the Elvis, like... I know it's still big money, but, like, is it what it was even 25 years ago?
I know a bunch of little kids because of the Austin Butler Elvis movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It was a pretty big movie. So, okay, you're right.
But if you could get Austin Butler to do the Elvis songs, that would be even fucking
awesome. I mean, yeah, that would be pretty incredible. So, more trailers real quick.
Yes.
So, Mission Impossible. Final Reckoning, which is a stupid name when the last movie was called Dead Reckoning. You drop the part one, you change it to Final Reckoning. The trailer doesn't tell us much. It shows us a lot of like action stuff juxtaposed with like these like still shots of like really looks like dire things. Do you really think this might be it for Tom Cruise in this franchise?
I think for a while, at least 5 years.
Until he can be the Alec Baldwin character and somebody else is doing the, I can see that.
I
the one thing in the trailer that there's always something in a Mission Impossible trailer yeah. that's like, oh, the biplane shit
Jesus
is, God, oh my God. Like, I really like the idea of like, it's always, how can we top ourselves? And it yeah. always seems to like go like, jump technologically, be bigger, be like a giant jet plane. We're going into space. We're doing like whatever. And the idea of topping themselves this time was to take massive steps technologically backwards. And instead of doing like jets or whatever, we've got him like trying to chase down a biplane and jumping on it. And like, because it's so just crazy. Like, the plane might as well be made of paper. Like, it's so wild.
I cannot describe to people like the fact, like, so, like, I don't know, like, when Tom Cruise decides to stop doing these things, there's going to be a huge vacuum. I do not think that people are ready or understand fully what this means and how fucking nuts it is that this man is doing what he's doing. Like, and to see this, there was the big stunt, Dead Reckoning, right? The parachute. This feels like a topping of that, and that was huge, right? This feels like, even in the 2 seconds that we have seen, and you know that shit's gonna be like a 15 minute scene. I got like, and I didn't watch it in IMAX. I didn't see it in a big screen. I just watched it on.
It's like he was watching North by Northwest and was like, exactly. What if instead of the plane chasing him down, he chased the plane down and then jumped on the plane. And it's yeah. just like, well, let's track that out. Let's, you know, storyboard it. Let's see what we can do. And like, it's just, it's wild to me, man. And I certainly, of course, going to see it, but I need to rewatch it, at least the last one, because I was watching the trailer and I was like, other than like there was a submarine and some weird key, I don't remember what the fuck the last movie was about.
Oh man, oh, you're in for a treat. I'll let you watch it because I don't want to ruin like the actual, I mean, like.
I saw it and I enjoyed it, and then I remember like there's a death. I remember Haley Atwell. Like, I remember pieces, but I was just like, I really don't remember what the hell they were chasing down. Like, I know it had to do with a submarine, and you had to have two keys. And I was like, yeah, I got to rewatch that last movie, man.
It's not only wild, but it's very, 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 very fitting. Like, it was a very zeitgeisty film. Like, it was very of the era. It's just, unfortunately, like, if it had gotten released in the fall or it got released
Memorial Day. Well, he wanted to fucking play chicken with Oppenheimer.
Yes. Well, not right? only Oppenheimer, but Barbie. Yeah, they played.
But yeah, yeah.
Lost. Like, that's yeah. the shittiest part about that situation is that he, like, his movie was good. But it wasn't as good as Barbie. Yeah, and
it wasn't that cult. Like, you're not the cultural force, man. Like, no. That was like just an unstoppable movement, and you wanted to fucking go toe to toe with it, and you lost, dude. Like, so I hopefully the runway's a little bit clearer here. So, yeah.
He has Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Because Thunderbolts will have been out for about 4 weeks. And like, hopefully
those Marvel movies, as much as we love them, like the only ones with like true staying power have like Guardians had a massive like consecutive yeah. week run, Infinity War, Endgame.
And Spider-Man,
Yeah. Like, they're few and far between where after a month, they're still like, oh my God, let's go see it again. So yeah, like, you know, he should have a much bigger runway, and that, I mean, that'll be nice for him. Like, if this is it for at least a while, going out on top will be nice, like, as a huge fucking success. Yep. And then you messaged me, like, unfortunately I had seen it, like, right before you messaged me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I wouldn't even have known about it. It just popped up in my feed. There's a movie coming out called The Amateur with Rami Malek, which is like part John Wick, but like, what if John Wick were not well trained?
I fucking love this concept, and especially for Rami.
Yeah, like, that this CIA number cruncher, basically.
Yes.
Whose wife gets somehow kidnapped and seemingly murdered. I just watching the trailer twice now. I'm like, I don't think his wife's really dead. I think this is like some really fucked up shit going on. And we'll see when we watch the movie. But his wife gets taken and murdered. For some reason, they show him the footage, and it sends him on this quest to like become one of those people who can exact revenge. And meanwhile, like, everybody along the way is telling him, you're not this person. You're not this person. You can't, like, Lawrence Fishburne's in it and doing his, like, I'm training the guy thing. And you know, he's trying to aggravate him just to get him to point a gun at him, and he can't do it. And he's like, yeah, you're not the guy. You're not a killer. And what he decides is that it's not that I'm not a killer. I have to do it my own way. And his way is not pointing a gun at somebody. It's like these, not elaborate, like jigsaw kind of thing. but it is very, it's not quite as like ridiculous as some of the jigsaw stuff, but it is that level of like, oh no, like what I've done. Like the first one is like, there's a guy in this like glass pool, like one of those, like, I'm super rich and I built a pool where there shouldn't be a pool. And Rami Malek is like done something to like break the glass while the dude's in the pool. And so he just plummets to his death. Like, that's fucking crazy, man. So,
like, it surprised me, and it also made me absolutely put this at the top of my list of things that I need to see right away, because it just, it understands, like, so very few, like, star vehicles understand their star in a way that I feel like The Amateur understands. It's like you made the comparison to John Wick, and I feel like Keanu had never had something that understood his prowess as a movie star, what he could and couldn't do, until John Wick came along. And it amplified everything that was so good that Keanu brought to the table. I feel like The Amateur understands from head to toe what makes Rami Malek a compelling actor, a star, and what we would want to see from Rami Malek, and what Rami Malek, what's possible from Rami Malek, right? Like, I find it fucking wild that this was initially a Hugh Jackman-like vehicle, that they were trying to, like, they were trying to get Hugh Jackman to star in this, because this is absolutely fucking Rami Malek. Like, this is like, I'm like, I saw this and I'm like, that's how you get an Academy Award winner that won for, like, you know, one best actor, and it should be a star because he's so good as an actor. This is what you do for him. And I cannot help but just think that this is going to hit in a good way. Like,
I hope it does. Not just for Rami Malek, but so the director is a guy named James Hawes, who this is his second movie. He had this movie called One Life with Anthony Hopkins, last year. It was I didn't see it, but it was very blip, like, gone.
I remember the movie that you're talking about now. Yes.
But this dude has been directing television, like, for a while, and like I don't watch Slow Horses. He's directed a shit ton of Slow Horses. The people I
Okay.
know that watch that show love that show.
Love it. Yeah, they
But like
really do.
Snowpiercer, The Alienist, the Mist TV series, like he's largely been a TV director. And like for his sake, I hope it is. Like, he directed like 5 or 6 episodes of Doctor Who, some like really good, and back in like 2005. So like peak Who
Yes.
revival stuff. And so I really, really hope this is like huge for him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I was looking him up like after as soon as I saw it.
He's also an executive producer on Lanterns, so.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
So he may be directing some episodes of Lanterns, so.
Okay. All right, that sounds, I mean, I hope that it hits. Like I really do. Like this like looks like it has the possibility. Like it did what a trailer was supposed to do, which is intriguing me enough to really
Oh
want to see this movie.
yeah,
So.
and enough that I'm like, even if there's more trailers, I don't need to see anything else. Like this is enough. Like I want to go see Rami Malek try to be a badass, and yeah, see the mystery of it all, like how it unfolds. Like I don't think it's hiding anything by being like, yeah, there's something else going on here. But because like the first dude he kills in the trailer is like, you've got the wrong guy. It wasn't me. But like, like what is the mystery? Like, are they using him to like take out like political rivals or like
Yeah.
what's going on? So yeah, it's an absolute blast of a trailer. And I can't wait to see it. So,
Yeah, April. It comes out in April, so we
yeah.
have until April. But I feel like it's gonna surprise a lot of people, but not us, because I think that it's gonna, I think it really is gonna be a great movie. I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, no,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Well, yeah, lots of good stuff coming in 2025, man. So I can't wait. So I guess go check out everything else we're doing over at xwingfiles.com, including a new podcast that just went
Oh.
up. Hopefully it's going to be at least monthly, if not like maybe hopefully bi-weekly. A friend of mine, Ricky, is a huge fan of the Alien franchise. He was like, you want to do a podcast and talk about like the Alien franchise? So first episode's up now. It's called Last Survivors, an Alien podcast. But if you go over to xwingfiles.com, you'll see the episode. It should be on iTunes right now. So go check that out. And also go check out our written work over at Adam's website.
Yes, themovieowl.com, where there was a ton of stuff that got posted this week.
You've been busy.
I have been busy. There was some there was like three Eastwood films that I covered for home video release. Elvira in 4K, which I can't even like process that shit that I watched
It's, yeah.
Elvira in 4K.
To me, Elvira shouldn't be watched in 4K. It should be watched on like a grainy, shitty tube TV.
Yes,
Because
that
that's
is
the way I watched it when I was a kid.
exactly. So it was kind of weird watching it. So got that. There's a lot of stuff on the site right now. There's going to be a hell of a lot more that I'm going to be posting about in the coming in the coming weeks. I'm actually reviewing the like if you guys had not watched the first Flanagan movie called Hush. I'm actually like it's actually getting a physical media release from Scream Factory, and I just got the 4K of it. So I'm very excited to dive into. I've already seen it. I've seen it a couple of times. I'm excited to dive into this whole like super edition that he created specifically for Shout Factory. Like he did it like himself. Like he's like it was like almost like a handmade kind of thing that he did. He even made a new cut of the film. It's kind of wild, so I'll be covering that and a bunch of other stuff because I've got a Logan, I've got a stack of Blu-ray. I got a stack of 4Ks. I mean, talk about first world problems, but I have a stack of Blu's and 4Ks that I need to review. So, I mean, and you know how it is. And then we also have football in the middle of all this. MovieOwl.com, where I have all my work, and Logan's work, written work, is there. We will be starting up the last leg of the first 50 of moving pictures. I'm going to get them uploaded to the site, and I feel like we should end the year with them. So you'll be seeing those come up soon. And they're like, all three of them are great. Like, I love the fact that you decided to wait until the end to really kind of like hammer home some like really great, really great articles or issues of, or volumes, whatever you would like to call them, chapters. They will soon be chapters. Stay tuned for that in 2025, guys. I'm really excited about posting those. So, just stay tuned to the website, movieowl.com.
And we'll be back. I don't know. So,
Gladiator or Penguin?
Yeah, Penguin for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to go see Gladiator. So,
okay. Then I will try to make it my mission to get to see Gladiator too. It's a lot of commitment, man. Yeah. I know it sounds weird, but it's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm just like, man, 2.5 hours.
This is coming from, like, Logan, just something that you, like, we haven't talked about. Like, this is coming from a dude who on Sunday at 10 o'clock is going to the theater to see an advance of The Brutalist. The four and a half hour 70 millimeter movie. So I'm gonna see that. I'll probably report back on that. But yeah, that's like a 6 hour ordeal, right? Like Gladiator is a 4.5 hour ordeal if you really think about it. An hour before, an hour after. It's just like, it's a lot, guys. but yeah, maybe we'll be back with that, but we will definitely be back with The Penguin, because I know that I think we both are in agreement that we really need to give it its just due, especially because we just talked about it like briefly. So stay tuned for that, guys.
Yeah, we will see you guys next week.
Number 1 Star Wars, number 2 comics, number 3 Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, number 4 Mario, number 5 Weird Al, number 6 Batman, number 7 Cal, number 8 Simpsons, number 9 TV, number 10 every single band that I stole all their MP3s back.